The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome aboard to Cruise Radio, your home port for everything cruising and more. Subscribe to our newsletter and weekly radio show at cruiseradio.net.
From the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Cruise Radio.
On this show, maritime legal expert Jim Walker will talk to us about six tips for staying safe at sea.
And we'll be talking to travel writer Chris Owen on his latest article he wrote, What to Expect in 2011 When It Comes to Cruising. Also, Chris wrote an article earlier today that got picked up by Fox News, so that's kind of cool.
Very cool. But first, Stuart Shearer on the Cruise Guy joins us. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Doug.
This has been in the news quite a bit. CNN, CNBC been covering this. A lot of cruise ships pulling out of the West Coast.
Yeah, well, you know, it's amazing. They just kind of woke up after, you know, the latest development. But, you know, this is, you know, the decline in the Mexican market is has been going on since easily since 2007. The West Coast departures peaked in 2005, but, you know, since about 2007, they've really been going down. And it wasn't the border violence, it wasn't the H1N1 violence, it wasn't the state of the economy. It's just, look, it's the same itinerary. All they can do is change the ships, and both Royal Caribbean and Carnival brought out new ships in 2010. Royal brought out Mariner of the Seas, Carnival brought out Carnival Splendor, and it just didn't make a bit of difference. But the first line to really make the change was Princess. Princess dropped from about 32 sailings down to about 17, and further reduced it again going into next year. NCL's pulling out. Royal was out with Monarch of the Seas a few years ago from the 3 and 4-day market. They're pulling. Mariner of the Seas just left this past Sunday, and it's just been a continuation of, look, we could take our floating hotels and put them in more profitable areas.
Yeah, somewhere nicer, too.
I mean, the itineraries in Mexico are the same. So how many times do you want to see the same thing over and over again? And it's one country. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Mexico's a wonderful country. But, you know, a lot of people on the West Coast, they've seen it. It's like if I lived in Los Angeles, you know, I've been there a few times. It's like if they added Catalina to an itinerary. I don't think too many people would be, you know, too excited out there, considering they're the ones taking the itineraries. It's like,
I like Catalina.
So Royal Caribbean pulled out on Sunday, and Carnival is pulling out next year, right?
Yes, and Carnival, it's going to be Carnival Spirit that's leaving, and she's going to be leaving San Diego. So Carnival's out of San Diego, Royal Caribbean's out of San Diego, and all they're left with is this beautiful new cruise terminal down there in San Diego, and seasonal departures by Holland America.
One ship, okay.
So it's unfortunate. You know, who knows? It could rebound. I mean, in the early 90s, there weren't many cruise lines and ships sailing from to the Mexican Riviera either. So it's kind of like a cyclical thing. And but the good news is Disney arrives with Disney Wonder for a 2-year seasonal stint. They arrive on Friday.
That's cool. And where's the Carnival Spirit going?
Carnival Spirit is actually going to be heading to Australia.
Down Under. Is this Carnival's first time ever in Australia?
Yes, it is, but it's Carnival Cruise Line's first time. Carnival has several other entities out there.
Yeah.
Princess is down there. P&O Australia is there. So what's common, guys, is normally Carnival will, you know, start with a smaller, older ship in a new market, and then kind of, you know, based on demand, either stay there or put a new ship out there. But in this case, based on what their sister companies are doing, they're confident that Carnival Spirit will, should do well.
You mentioned
they love to have fun out there in Australia.
Oh yeah.
You mentioned Disney. Can you give us a quick update as to who's going to be the godmother of the dream?
Well, unfortunately, Doug and Drag is not going to happen. But no, it's believe it or not, it's still under wraps and. You know, who knows? Like some other cruise lines, maybe we'll see Tinkerbell do it again.
And speaking of drag, let's talk about the three queens.
Yeah, Let me tell you, that was quite an experience. That was the second time. I was up in New York, Cunard's three queens, Queen Mary II, Queen Victoria, and the brand-new Queen Elizabeth, all were in New York City. And let me tell you, the scenery was gorgeous, and it was neat. We were parked, we were on Queen Elizabeth. Queen Victoria was right next to us. And the real excitement was that night, Queen Mary II came in from Brooklyn. She was first, followed by Queen Victoria, and then Queen Elizabeth came up at the end. They sailed by the Statue of Liberty, a big, tremendous fireworks show. It was lined. It was about 10 to 12 degrees that night. I mean, it was a biting chill in the air, snow on the ground, but there was still a good amount of people lining the areas to see it. And, you know, just watching as the ships did the limbo under the Verrazano Bridge, there apparently were quite a few people there as the flashbulbs were going off. So it was an exciting time. And then Queen Victoria and Queen Elizabeth were in Fort Lauderdale on Sunday and are now doing a little bit of Caribbean and then actually heading over to the West Coast now.
You know, it's a slow news day when we're sitting here talking about three ships in a harbor.
Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy, will be back later in the show with your hot deals.
Been dreaming lately about a romantic tropical cruise to the Caribbean?
Cruise One.
Or how about a breathtaking scenic cruise to Alaska?
Cruise One.
Or how about the Mexican Riviera?
Or Cancun?
Cozumel?
Or New England?
Or Canada?
Or Italy?
Or Greece?
Or the Far East? Or how about a cruise around the whole world?
Cruise One. Got a dream vacation for you.
Cruise One.
Let us send you on your way.
Cruise One.
Number one in cruising nationwide.
Cruise One has more than 550 cruise specialists nationwide ready to help you plan your dream cruise. And speaking with a local Cruise One expert is as easy as calling toll-free 1-800-CRUISE and the number one. That's 1-800-CRUISE-1 or find us online at cruiseone.com.
Number one in cruising nationwide.
Travel writer Chris Owen is with us once again. Welcome back to Cruise Radio.
Glad to be here.
You've written a piece for Gadling.com. What to expect in 2011 when it comes to cruising? The first, higher fuel costs mean higher fares.
Could be. It's a thing that cruise lines really don't want to do. But when the price of oil gets up to about $100 a barrel, they sure look at it awful hard. And when it did last time, they added on a fuel surcharge, which they could do again. They have the right to do it, and this time they've come prepared.
Spring break sailings are going to fill up pretty fast this year, huh?
Yeah, they are, and they're already filling up fast. In fact, I was looking at some today where cabins that would hold three or four people, not available. Cabins for two, plenty of them, but that doesn't work for families. So that's what fills up a lot of spring breaks is family travel and then college folks with more than two people in a cabin, and they're not going to find some place to stay if they don't hurry up.
2011 is going to be the year of a la carte pricing.
It is. You're going to find that more, and not just in cruises, but in other kinds of travel, too, where people will be given more options, not just a one-size-fits-all sort of a travel experience. People are going to be wanting to go out on their own and do different things, and travel agents, travel companies, and cruise lines for sure are going to start offering, if they haven't already, different options that people can do to customize their vacations just for us. In fact, Norwegian Cruise Line started that just today, where they're pushing shore excursions at about the same rate as they're pushing cruises, which is kind of an unusual way to go.
More and more cruise lines are getting into social networking?
Yeah, they didn't. It's just cruise lines have been kind of slow getting on the wagon there, as though they just really didn't quite get it. But the big event that kind of kicked the whole thing off and really kind of turned the tide was the New Year's Eve in Times Square, New York,
Yeah. Where
Carnival put about a ton of confetti down on the crowd.
That's right.
It was all handwritten wishes for the next year from people that had stopped by their wishing wall along the way.
Yeah, you were there.
Yes, and it was fabulous.
This next one now reminds me of what Holland America is really trying to do because they've been known for being an older demo, but multi-generational cruises take a huge leap in popularity. I guess it's just not just with lines like Holland America, though.
No. In fact, we saw a lot of this when we were in Alaska last year, and I thought it was kind of unusual, but it made sense. Grandma, grandpa taking the kids and the grandkids along for the ride on a vacation. And I thought that was kind of interesting to see. In Alaska, it kind of made sense because Alaska is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime sort of a thing you do. But we're seeing that more and more with Caribbean cruises, and not just cruise vacations, but other vacations as well.
European sailings will skyrocket.
Well, there's a good reason for that. For one reason, cruise lines have repositioned a lot of ships to the European market, where they actually get more money per berth. It's a more profitable area for them. And there's a lot more capacity in Europe now than there has been in years past. And people are taking advantage of that. Airfares are starting to stabilize so people can afford to fly and then get on a cruise. And so people that have had a pent-up desire to go to Europe that didn't for the last couple of years because of economy or flight prices are having the ability to do that now.
And lastly, I expect more beefed-up security in 2011.
It's just inevitable. I don't know if it'll be quite like going through airline TSA checks, but it's coming. Cruise lines have been lax, and a cruise ship is a prime target for terrorists.
Yeah.
And something we don't like to talk about, but it's something that they need to address, and they have been beefing things up lately. We've seen a lot less ability for guests to want to, for example, smuggle alcohol onto the ship. It's just not happening like it used to because they're more diligent about that sort of thing. And that sort of, because it's alcohol for one person, but it could be gasoline for someone else, and they need to keep those things off the ship.
And I want to remind our listeners to really encourage everybody that they're traveling with, just as a friendly reminder, to be prepared before you approach the security check, because you don't want to be that guy or that lady who's holding up the line.
Nope.
Chris Owen, travel writer, thank you so much for being with us. You can find it at gadling.com. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Thank you so much.
If you missed any part of the show or want to hear more, go to cruiseradio.net and click on Radio Channel, or go to iTunes and search Cruise Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio.
Last week, we interviewed Jim McKenna from Cellular at Sea, and he raised some very important issues. And we got a lot of questions from listeners about this information. Because if you're like Doug and can easily rack up a cell phone bill because of, the calls and the texts late at night, this is certainly for you.
Yeah, it is. If you're an AT&T customer, you may want to consider checking out the AT&T Cruise Ship Passport Package. And you could actually set this up before you sail or actually while you're sailing it. Basically,
yeah, that's awesome because you don't have to have it ongoing as a monthly
Yeah, you can turn it on and off as needed. And for just $35 a month, the package provides the following services while on the cruise ship: Cellular at Sea Network. You get 15 minutes of voice and 15 messages sent. That includes text, picture, and video.
For a list of qualifying cruise ships, please go to att.com/travel guide. And for additional information, you can go to att.com/world packages. Now, to sign up for the package, please log on to your AT&T wireless account at att.com/mywireless or call 916-843-4685. Obviously, that's a free call from your wireless phone. Maritime legal expert Jim Walker is with us. Welcome to Cruise Radio, Jim.
Thanks, Matt and Doug. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jim, before we get to your 6 tips to staying safe at sea, which, by the way, can be found at cruiselawnews.com, I want to ask you something about back in, I think it was 2005, Royal Caribbean's Brilliance of the Seas, the honeymoon disappearance. Whatever was the conclusion to that?
Well, the conclusion is that the FBI still has what they're calling an open and active investigation.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean a whole lot, quite frankly.
Right.
And, you know, there's a debate. Did George Smith drink too much alcohol and sit on the rail and fall off smoking a cigar? I don't think so. Or was he a victim of something more sinister, which has never really been explained? So I think, unfortunately, that's going to remain a mystery.
There's a reason I ask about that, Jim. Do crimes, whether it's like that or petty or otherwise, happen more frequently on cruise ships than the media reports?
I think they do. I think, though, that there's somewhat of a saturation of those stories now. And there's so much social media out there now that the stories are coming out more frequently. I think that it happens more often than the public knows,
yeah.
which is the real issue. And it, you know, it raises the issue of crime statistics. What are the crime rates and the sexual assault rapes, the theft rapes
right.
on cruise ships versus your hometown? And if you ask the cruise industry, they say that these incidences are completely rare. And I think that the statistical evidence out there is they happen at least as frequently as in your hometown, particularly if you're in a major urban city.
Right. Let's get to the six tips to staying safe at sea. And a lot of these, I mean, there's six of these. They're all pretty much common sense, but they're obviously great reminders. The first one, watch your kids.
Watch your kids. You know, on our Cruise Law News blog, we have logged about a lot of unpleasant things. And I know your listeners, a lot of your listeners are cruise fans, and I don't want to lose half your audience right with the first question.
Right.
But you'll see a lot of news coming out about child pornography on cruise ships. There are crew members that aren't vetted that pose a risk to children. There are passengers who are sexual predators. Now, all that sounds pretty sinister, but it's the same thing that happens and could happen in your own hometown.
I was just going to say, you know, if you go to your sheriff's website and look at the list of sex offenders in your area, you're going to find a disturbing number within a 3-mile radius of your home.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The unique thing, Matt, about cruise ships, though, is you have parents who have watched their children, you know, they would never let their kids walk home from school, never let them go to a mall by themselves.
And yet
they go on a cruise and they're sucked into letting their guard down.
Right.
And a lot of it is just the natural inclination to want to let loose and relax. But the other dynamic is the fact that the cruise lines really tout this concept of family cruising, that it's safe to let your kids run wild at the HTO, you know, water park. And they talk about, you know, relax, come to the sauna, go to the casino, you know, after the second seating, watch a show, dance up in the disco, and relax while we're taking care of your kids. And our concern is that a lot of the counselors on the cruise ships are not properly vetted. A lot of them come from foreign countries where, unlike the U.S. that has a driver's license database and sexual predator databases, a lot of the crew members, particularly the cabin attendants, are from countries that don't have any kind of database. They don't have a Social Security database. There's really no way to vet them, and the cruise lines don't vet most of those employees anyway. They let the hiring agents try to do background checks. So one of the concerns I have on this Watch Your Kids is we have found in the past decade parents let their guards down and they leave their 12-year-old daughter in the cabin or their 9-year-old son and they think it's safe and then they go out and have a good time and a cabin attendant can get in and we've seen a number of really very unpleasant things that have happened. A lot of parents are flabbergasted that things like that happen. So, you know, what we tell the public on social media and on Twitter and so forth is you've got to be careful. There are things that happen just like any major city, and there are certain particular risks with cruising because you have the cruise employees that have access to your cabin, and you need to stay alert and protect your children at all times.
Let's move to number two. You have watch your drinks.
Yeah, this is another thing that sounds like it's just a common sense suggestion that most women should take into consideration any time they go out into the public. There have been a number of sexual assaults that have occurred on cruise ships where women have been given date rape drugs.
Well, that moves right into number three there. Don't get knee-walking drunk or let your kids drink.
Yeah, you know, we were all kids. I was in college, I was in a fraternity, and it's one thing becoming intoxicated on firm, stationary ground, and it's quite another thing being intoxicated on a cruise ship. There's a big issue that was debated before Congress on the height of the rails, and there was a suggestion that some of the rails on cruise ships were too low. And I know a lot of your listeners are thinking, oh, come on, give me a break, it's an issue of personal responsibility.
Yeah.
But the law down in Florida, the general maritime law applied down in the Florida courts, imposes legal liability on the cruise ships when they over-serve their passengers. So if a bartender serves too much alcohol, serves a guest alcohol to the point of intoxication and then past the point of intoxication, and they come up to a railing and they lean over and they fall off the ship, believe it or not, it's going to be a case of liability against the cruise line. It may also be liability of the passenger, but it's a dangerous thing to drink too much alcohol on a cruise ship.
Let's move on to number four, Jim. You have treat the cruise ship like a major urban city.
Anything that can happen on land can and will happen on a cruise ship.
Absolutely.
And it's no different. You can have a heck of a lot of fun. Cruising's probably the best value that you can have on a vacation. But don't think that you're in paradise. You have to use your common sense. You have to keep your eyes open. And you have to follow some basic rules.
Number five, be skeptical of the safety of cruise-sponsored excursions.
Yeah, this is a kind of one of my pet peeves, and this comes from representing lots and lots of passengers who thought that the zip line in Honduras was safe, and it broke and ended in death. And you would never think that just going on a cruise and participating in one of these activities or getting off with your family in a bus would lead to such terrible, terrible results, but it does happen.
All right, Jim, and the last one you have is disembark in Caribbean ports at your own peril.
Yeah, my short answer is the Caribbean islands are beautiful, but I find them to be dangerous. And your listeners are going to be thinking, what is this guy thinking, to stay in the United States and, you know, hide under your sheets? And that's not what I'm saying at all. We just find, of all the cruise passengers around the world, we don't hear problems of people cruising out of Vancouver. We don't hear these types of problems of people cruising in Europe or even North Africa, for that matter. But this past year has seen just an epidemic of crimes against cruise passengers. There were two incidences down in the Bahamas where a total of 30 passengers were victims of armed robbery. There's a dozen families robbed in Jamaica during an excursion, and the crime situation is getting worse in the Caribbean. So, sounds pretty depressing. Sounds a little negative.
Thanks, Jim.
But my, you know, let me just tell you this: 13 million people sail a year, and people are going to continue to sail. But you've got to use your best judgment.
Again, it's just common sense. You can find these six tips to staying safe at sea on Jim Walker's website, cruiselawnews.com. Thanks for talking to us, Jim.
Yeah, I hope it wasn't too much of a downer. You know, I tend to depress people immensely.
No, I just canceled all my cruises for 2011. But no, it wasn't depressing.
And people on Twitter tend to shy away from me and run in the other direction.
Jim Walker, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us on Cruise Radio.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Doug.
Have a question for the experts, or would you like to talk about your cruise or vacation experience, good or bad? Email comments at cruiseradio.net.
Each episode, we feature Porthole Cruise Magazine's Pick of the Week. If you're going to be in Miami pre- or post-cruise and want to experience one of the city's most long-standing dining establishments, consider making a reservation at The Forge.
Located on 41st Street in Miami Beach, less than 10 miles from the Port of Miami, The Forge has been around since the 20s, has served regulars like Frank Sinatra, Jackie Gleason, and Elizabeth Taylor, and continues to be one of the most noted steakhouses in the country.
After undergoing an extreme $10 million renovation in 2009, The Forge reopened in March of 2010 with a new look and dining approach, a new chef and menu, and a totally new ambiance. The restaurant features a wine bar by Sharif Malnick where you can sample 80 different wines via a by-the-glass Enomatic system, plus one of the most impressive wine cellars and collections you'll ever see.
The decor and furniture blend both classic and modern elements, begging you to walk around and admire all the eclectic details so you don't miss anything. Dinner will cost you, but it's well worth the splurge to dine and experience The Forge just once.
Stuart Shearer on The Cruise Guy is back with your hot deals.
Well, there is still time if you want to get a chance to sail on Cunard's Queen Victoria. The sailing to think about is February 13th, where it's doing a four-night out of Los Angeles. Prices were from $1,695. They're now down to $449 per person. Again, February 13th. If you want to get on board Disney's brand new Disney Dream, the availability for 2011 is rapidly going away. So if you're thinking about it, really now is the time to book it. The low pricing is starting around $599, but you know, the, like I said, the availability is getting very, very thin for 2011. You know, if you're looking at, you know, Carnival's got a brand new ship coming out in 2011. It's Carnival Magic. She's going to be debuting May the 1st. She's going to be doing 7, 9, or 12 night Western Mediterranean departing ground trip out of Barcelona. I mean, 7 night will get you to Monte Carlo, Rome, Livorno for Florence and Pisa, Naples for Pompeii, Sorrento and Capri and Messina. And the prices are starting from only $729 per person. So there's your cruise deals for the week.
All right, thank you, Stuart. Next week, Holland America's Master Chef Rudy Sodamin will join us to talk about their new culinary council.
That culinary council is pretty cool, too. I was down there when they were had the official culinary council meeting, the very first one down on the Nordam in Fort Lauderdale, and good stuff to come.
You really get around to all the industry events, don't you? Also, our good friend, travel writer Ralph Grizzle from AvidCruiser.com. He's actually on the Disney Dream right now and is updating videos and blogs and everything as he goes along.
Yeah, check his Facebook page out, Facebook.com/AvidCruiser.
From the Cruise Radio Studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
And this is Cruise Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cruise Radio. For information on how your company can reach over 100,000 travel enthusiasts a week, email sales@cruiseradio.net. Find Cruise Radio on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just search Cruise Radio.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.